Phil, what you doing, you son of a bitch?
I'm logging out to your internet with that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pixel Chicken Podcast. I am your host, Stryker, and with me I have Phil.
What's up?
And I have John Boy.
Yeah.
Little cue from Die Hard.
John Boy.
Also known as Johnny, also known as Bramby, whatever you want to call him. Today is a special episode. We are going to be looking forward to 2016 and all of the big releases coming. We're going to talk about what we want to see, maybe what we don't want to see as much, what we think is going to happen, and just kind of go through some of the big releases that are coming soon and discuss what we're most excited for. The last two episodes we spent looking at 2015 and doing our Game of the Year awards show. So we decided we might as well talk about what 2016 has to offer, which is what today's episode is going to be. If that's okay with you, Phil?
More than okay with me.
Cool. Phil, there's some game coming out you're excited for? 2016?
Except for Mass Effect
3. Whoa. No, name any names.
Whoa.
Yes. Jeez, this guy jumping the gun. Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny has a game or two that he's pretty excited for, and I may know one of them. May end with a four.
It does end with... Wait.
And we can't talk about that game, unfortunately.
A four? It ends with a four?
Yeah. It's the fourth iteration of a franchise that you kind of like.
Oh, Devil May Cry 4 HD re-release on PC.
There you go.
Fucking yeah.
You may have figured it out by now, but River sadly is not with us today.
He's dead.
Is he dead?
Wow. I think so.
Well, a lot has changed. A short time ago, he was just in Portland, but you're telling me he's dead now.
Portland is a dangerous place, so he has to be.
Yeah, unless you get together with Plissken, you won't survive.
Interesting.
Escape from Portland.
Escape from Portland.
It's the third one. No one knows about it because it was boring.
Way less cool than escaping from L.A. or New York. All right, guys. So, and by the way, for everybody listening out there, I just want to make this clear. Starting in February, we will be moving permanently to SoundCloud for our podcast hosting. So if you are the kind of person that likes to go to the actual website to visit, to listen to our podcast, or downloads it from the website, just be on the lookout for that. We actually already have up the last 12 episodes on SoundCloud now. So that will become a permanent thing, and we will be moving away from Podomatic. And while I'm at it, if you haven't already, like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Follow us on Twitter. That's @pixel_chicken. And send your hate mail to Johnny at pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. So with all that out of the way, I figure let's just get right into the meat and bones of this whole thing.
Nitty gritty.
We got a list of games coming out in 2016. And we're just going to kind of go through and freestyle it and just talk about some of the games that we're excited for. So, Phil, I'm going to start with you. Mm-hmm. You already jumped the gun, as you do often, and spoke about one of the games on this list. So, tell me a little bit more. You're excited for some games?
Mass Effect 4 is one of the games I'm excited for. They apparently got 200 developers working on the world map. It's an all-new story. No old characters, which I'm not necessarily ecstatic about, but it's okay. It's a brand new trilogy. So, and other than that, I still know very little about it, and I don't think there's not really that much out about it right now.
Yeah, I know very little about it. I know that it's going to take place in another galaxy, and it's going to be different characters, different, I don't know if, what, I don't know where in the time frame it takes place in the Mass Effect universe, but...
So, it's a sequel, and it's in another it's another galaxy, and it's sort of, it seems like it's going to have more of the theme of exploration.
Which was one of my favorite things about
Honestly, Mass Effect 2. I am absolutely stoked for this as well, because we don't know where it could go, and Mass Effect, to me, got really bloated, and... it just got kind of dogpiled on, I feel like, by the third game, especially by the end of it. It was like, oh god, there's all this build-up, all these universe changes, all these things that we've seen and done, and it got convoluted.
And let's be honest, it ended on a very shitty note.
Yeah, well, it did.
It's not only that, shitty. Like they just didn't know how to end something that open and big, and so they're just like, fuck, let's go for existential art, except it didn't work at all. And, so this one, picking up, it doesn't pick up where it left off. Instead, it starts over in the great universe that was developed.
Which is great, because I think...
That's the best part of the game.
I think one of the best things about the Mass Effect games was the universe, the different races, and the politics and stuff like that, and the exploration.
Yeah.
Which is... And the story, like you said, I was... In 2, it was cool and stuff, but it did get very convoluted and stuff, and I think that kind of starting fresh, but with an already established universe, which was taking the things that were best about the Mass Effect, the previous Mass Effect trilogy, and then starting fresh is an idea that is very interesting to me.
One of the things I loved about the first Mass Effect...
And it'll be the first Mass Effect in this generation of consoles, so I'm excited to see just what they can do with that, power, you know? Because those games... I mean, they weren't the best-looking games out there, but I think Mass Effect 2 and then 3, definitely, they had some impressive things there.
Awesome. Yeah,
graphically. Well, for the time, Mass Effect 2 was so stunning.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that opening cutscene, the CG was just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
very Mass much Effect so. 2 is definitely my favorite of the franchise still.
Me too.
Yeah. Me too. Because I barely played 3, honestly. I just wasn't...
I played 3, and I liked it. But I think what made Mass Effect 2 what it was the very character-oriented side missions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very character-oriented story as opposed to, you know, Mass Effect 1, which was kind of like it had a really good, fun plot. And I hope they bring the more character-oriented aspect back for Andromeda, but I really want to be able to actually explore the planets this time, like the first game.
You know, one thing that I also would like out of the story... Sorry if I...
No, you're good.
One thing that I would like out of the story is I don't feel like a great sci-fi story always has to be like the whole entire universe is in peril.
Yeah.
And you have to say... Just... I mean, I'm totally fine with the game just being a more small-scale, personal story about you and your crew and about exploration and stuff, and just not having this overarching story of everyone's going to die if we don't do this and that. Like, just let me explore and kind of map out my own story and have fun with it.
You can tell any story in these kinds of universes. You can do a crime drama if you want it.
Exactly. And I think that's something that just... isn't done as much as it could be in sci-fi games.
I think the reason why Mass Effect 2 works so well is because it wasn't main plot driven, and when it was focused on the main plot, the game was at its weakest. Like, the main plot was go do the suicide mission and build up for it.
Yep.
So during that time, you're exploring the universe, and you're meeting characters, and it's a character story. And so it's world building and character building and all this stuff. And then when you get to the main story, you're like, that's kind of weak. And then you get to Mass Effect 3, where they've taken everything that's built off of 1 and 2, added some more, and then tried to conclude it, and the whole thing was main story. So some of it worked really well, and some of it worked horrendously, because BioWare, when it comes down to BioWare's writing, it's like a mix between really good, and sometimes they go into this pulpy, crappy, almost fan fiction feeling, like, just really amateur levels of writing sometimes comes out of some of their writers that they need to fire. there's some dude
who's just reads all the good stories and is like, I'm going to change this a little bit.
There is some really forced, just some things about BioWare, especially recently, and I hope that 4 really sets it straight, because I think that of all the BioWare games, they've all done okay. at while they've had those flaws, they have all these other strengths. I feel like 3 suffered the most from the BioWare writing of any BioWare game ever made. So I feel like I hope that 4 brings it back to simpler times. And also, I think that Mass Effect 1 has some of the best moments in the entire series as well.
I loved seeing being halfway through the game, seeing the antagonist levitate down onto the surface, and he just beats the shit out of Shepard.
You're talking about the first game?
I'm talking about the first game. You're halfway through the game. He comes face to face with the antagonist for the first time, and it just creates such a sense of conflict, because it's like you can't stand a chance against this guy.
One of my favorite moments in gaming history is if you have the really high renegade and whatever, you know, where you can say the really difficult dialogue choices. Basically, if you do a new game plus and you get to the end and you fight him as the last boss when he's taken over by the Reapers, Seraphs or whatever, you can basically persuade him to turn. To realize what he's done is a mistake, and he says sorry, Shepard, and he pulls out a gun and shoots himself in the head. It's the coolest.
I never knew that.
One of my favorite things, and what I'd like to see more of. One of my favorite things about 2 is like the small scale things, like the part at the beginning where I don't remember why, but you go into like a club.
Arya's club.
Yeah, and you go to like talk to one of the characters and stuff, and little things like that, like that make you feel like you're a part of a more, more of part of a smaller like planet and stuff, and it kind of takes away the whole grand scheme of being able to travel the universe and stuff, and just breaks it down into just small little interactions is what I liked, and I'd like to see more of that. So
you do get to punch the reporter in all 3 games, though.
That's true.
Yes.
So
I'm tired of your snide insinuations.
So, Johnny.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. I hope I'm not getting too personal here. What is a 2016 release that you are looking forward to? What's something on your radar?
I think my most looked forward to is MLB 2017.
Yeah. I was expecting
to
hear Persona.
My number one's Persona 5. Obviously, if anyone's listened to the podcast before,
it looks really cool.
Persona 5 is my most hyped thing ever. I've never been waiting for something this long before with this much anticipation and still being like this much impressed with what they've shown. Think like what Persona 4 came out half a year before Metal Gear Solid 4. So think about the wait between 4 and 5 for Metal Gear. Except different, because with Metal Gear Solid 4, you felt like it was done. Like you didn't, you weren't thinking, oh, maybe they'll come out with a 5. Like, so when they announced that, I was just like, what? But with 4, you're like, oh God, I can't wait to see the next generation of Persona. And, Phil, did you just type something in the chat?
No, he's just looking at Persona pictures.
So seeing Persona 5 is what everyone wanted to do as soon as they started Persona 4, because that game came out in 2008. Everybody played it and was like, wow, this is great and all, but this is a PS2 game. Like, what the hell does this look like in HD?
Right.
And so this is the anticipation of how do they do this level of quality with a modern-looking game has been something people have just been waiting to see forever. So any snippet of anything has just been like, oh, my God.
And what they've showed looks really fucking cool, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Really unique.
They just have so much creativity that they just dump. And so they just dump every... There's so many cool ideas in one game. It's amazing that they can then make another game that has more.
Some of the stuff you've told me about these games is just really fascinating. And I mean, the small glimpses of gameplay we've seen in the trailer trailers, there's been a few.
There's like a few.
Has been really amazing looking.
Yeah.
And kind of a departure maybe a little bit from the past games as far as the gameplay goes. More, maybe like an evolution, I guess. It's hard to say just from what we've seen, but it definitely looks like it has more, maybe it's like some more action-oriented stuff. And
The dungeon crawling is better, which is good because the dungeon crawling kind of sucked before. The combat looks the exact same. In a way. I mean, camera angles are really creative and the animations are better, but it's clearly a Shin Megami Tensei.
I really like the graphics in it,
too. Combat system. Oh, man. When I first played Persona 4, it was like, as I was like a quarter of the way into the game, I was so obsessed with the game. Because I played like a quarter of it, and my friend from New York took the copy and flew home, and I couldn't play any more of the game. I was so attached to it.
What a dick.
And he wouldn't let me borrow it and ship it back to him. The game cost like $40 to $50 for a used copy because it was rare. And I ended up buying it on eBay, and I bid it on it twice for good measure on two different listings, and I won them both. So I just, like, out of desperation, I just dropped like $100 to play it. And then the price went way down because I think they printed more copies or something. But then Catherine was announced like while I was beating it. And I looked at gameplay, and I was like, holy shit. Because at that moment, I realized this is kind of what Persona 5 is going to look like. And, and really, it does. Catherine looks
It great. Does.
Catherine looks so fucking good. But stylistically, especially. Yeah. But, this game, the fact that they delayed it was understandable. I just hope that they have a release date very soon. They don't even just show me any more gameplay. I also am interested to see if this game gets mainstream. Because 4 was pretty became mainstream like 5 or so years or more after the fact, because they had made an anime, and then they milked it, and they made a fighting game, and they made all this junk. And then they re-released it on the Vita. It was the best Vita game. But think about it. How many people own a Vita? I mean, everybody who had a Vita like, kind of bought that game. But that's still a niche crowd.
Right.
Persona 5 came out PS3, PS4 on a console that people are desperate for exclusives. Like, people are going to pick up Persona 5.
Yeah, I feel like Persona has just slowly become more and more of, like, a popular franchise in the time between the initial release of 4 and whenever 5 is going to come out. So, I'm curious to see what, the sales and stuff will be here in the States. Yeah,
it's got a bit of a Deadpool effect going on.
And it seems like I wonder if Sony will give it more, press and stuff. Too.
They haven't done a very good job of that.
Yeah, so far they haven't.
I don't think based on past sales, it's easy to decide that it's not that hot, but I think that it will be.
And right.
It's going to sell a few million, I think.
So looking at some other stuff on the list, I guess we can just do whatever, but oh man.
I thought you were going to pick...
it was fucking that. River that made my phone go off. He said, dude, you guys recording? Yeah. Hey, River.
He's alive.
Oh,
he's alive.
Shit.
That's good. So I'm going to say, oh, man, looking at this list, there's so much stuff coming out. And I'm sure some of this stuff will get pushed back, honestly. But for now, a lot of the stuff we've talked about, I mean, Street Fighter V, I've talked at length about. I'm super stoked about it. I don't know how much more needs to be said. About it, but I it's one of my most anticipated games, and it actually comes out relatively soon. I mean, I think it's like less than a month.
That's weird.
It comes out next month, mid next month or something like that. Anyway, so I'm super stoked for Street Fighter V. I love what I've played in the beta and stuff. I guess another fighting game that I haven't talked as much about that I'm excited for is also King of Fighters 14, which I'm excited because while it may not look the best, and it has, I will say that it has looked better and better every time they've showed it at each of the conferences or wherever it's been shown so far. The thing I'm most excited for about it is just the fact that it's very true to form for King of Fighters. When they first announced that their next King of Fighters was going to be 3D, everyone in the community was like, oh no, they're going 3D, blah, blah, blah. You know, everyone was upset, but what they've shown has clearly displayed that they are not straying far from what makes King of Fighters the franchise it is. I mean, they're everything. It looks very much like a King of Fighters, even more so than King of Fighters 13. It looks more like some of the earlier games in the franchise. I guess they have some of the people working on it are former SNK designers that used to work on older King of Fighters games and came back. They're sort of like a dream team of former SNK designers that have come together to work on this game when they decided they wanted to focus again on fighters. And Phil, why are you watching a video of King of Fighters 5?
Which one is it? Sorry. King of Fighters, which one? 14?
Well, yeah, 14. Okay.
Slightly newer than 5.
I don't even know what King of Fighters 5 is, because I think they went by years back then.
ASCII art. it's like a text adventure.
So anyway, I'm really excited for King of Fighters 14. And it's also cool because this and Street Fighter, they are Sony exclusives. So I like the fact that Sony is kind of dedicating themselves to being like the console for fighting games, it seems like. I mean, they have in 2016, they have Street Fighter, King of Fighters, and Tekken 7 all coming out on PS4.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's, you know, it's not the best for if you own an Xbox One and want to play these fighting games, but there's Killer Instinct, and Season 3 of Killer Instinct is coming out next year, too, or this year.
It really does look like the kind of game it should be.
Yeah, and it's got a huge roster. They haven't announced very many characters yet, but who they have announced is cool, and so I'm just excited. I'm really stoked for it. I don't care. I mean, it could look like it does right now, and as long as it plays as good as it has looked, and from what I've heard from people that have played it, I'll be happy. So I'm super stoked about that. So Phil, what else?
Well,
hit me with it.
Doom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doom is you right up your alley.
Doom.
Mine too. Looks, but mostly
I know, much. But you're right. But Doom looks. It looks to be the opposite of what, say, Doom 3 was. Doom 3 had its, like, quiet, more atmospheric moments, mm-hmm. based off what I remember. This movie, this game is going to be a straight up...
sequel to the film.
It's going to have The Rock, he's back.
It's going to have shitty and awesome first-person sequence. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember from that. The trailer.
That's what this whole thing is going to be. It's going to border into the continuity of the movie. Now, but it's a straight up action third person shooter, it seems. It looks absolutely insane.
God, it looks like it's taking what Wolfenstein did last year and just turning it up to 11. I mean, it is like, in every sense, it is a classic first person shooter. There's no cover mechanics, you're just running around, you know, 30 miles an hour, just destroying everything.
Total
blood and guts.
Total pandemonium, demons everywhere.
I like how when I look up Doom release date, mm-hmm. I get this shitty fan-made cover called Doom 4 with an adult-only rating.
I think that's the official art.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think the game's got an adult-only.
But I'm really excited about it. I think it's cool they have, like, the... like for the multiplayer and stuff, although it's not really something that I'm too concerned about. I think it's cool that they have like the map editing stuff and it's community driven multiplayer, which is cool. I'm sure that'll be fun for some people that like that kind of Unreal Tournament gameplay. But the game itself just looks super fun. The weapons are insane. The scope and scales.
Crazy. I thought it had a release date. It looks like it's coming. They say it's quarter one or two for this year. It's like, well, we're in quarter one. Where's the date?
Interesting.
I thought they said it was going to be like March. I thought it was really soon.
Yeah, I seem to remember there being a release date, but I guess maybe not. From what they've shown, I can't imagine they have much more to do on it. It looked like in a very complete state last time they've shown it off. So hopefully it'll be dropping before the holidays and stuff. That'd be nice. This year's crazy to me because we have so many games coming out before the holiday season.
Yeah, before the E3 announcements and all that.
All year round.
Think about how many big games are coming out, like you said, before E3. I mean, there's a ton of them. But Doom looks really cool. Johnny, what else?
Well...
Okay, let me ask you guys this. What does everyone here think about The Division? The Division is a game that comes out soon.
Very soon, surprisingly.
Yeah. Phil.
I mean, I hope it's successful, I guess. I've never really felt much interest for it. It's a post-apocalyptic game belonging to a company named after an author that's been dead for several years. It has nothing to do with Tom Clancy, but I hope it's a good game.
Yeah, so when they first revealed the gameplay, I was really taken by how the shooting looked and the visuals were compelling, but also the Destiny-like MMO gameplay really appealed to me. I mean, you and I really like third-person shooters. I really like Tom Clancy games in general.
And more than anything, I like kind of more realistic third-person shooters, too.
Yeah, and it's weird because this game has undergone a cheapening, I feel like.
Everyone talks about, and there's two parts to this argument. There is a lot of people that will really beat a dead horse with the downgrade stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God. And that's why I don't want to even say that word.
Yeah, and it's even more so because it's Ubisoft. They get this hate because of stuff with Watch Dogs and Unity, Assassin's Creed Unity, and all this stuff. So everyone, it's like people are kind of waiting to pick things apart that come from them, no matter what it is. So I don't want to go down that road, but I will say that what they showed off at E3 2013 and what we've seen more recently, because there's like beta gameplay and stuff that's out now from people playing it. And, you know, it looks different. It looks worse. You can't argue that. Whether or not it still looks great.
Like, I think that Watch Dogs did not look that much better at E3 2012. Like people made it out to be. Like when I played it on Ultra, and then people found that little thing that you could edit in the INI file to make the game look like it was supposed to in E3, and it just altered the lighting.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's bullshit. This game looks great. This game, it looked incredible, and now it looks really average, and the shooting looks different.
Well, here's the biggest. That's what I want to get at, because I think that's something tangible that you can actually talk about and not be, you know, not have so much opinion in it. But the shooting looks, it does look different, and to me, I don't like really the way that the shooting looks that I've seen from like the beta gameplay. It's way too bullet spongy, and I don't really like that in games very much. There's certain games where, like Halo, for example, you know, it takes a lot of ammo to kill the other player when you're playing like multiplayer and stuff like that. But in this game, it's trying to be, at least it seems like it is, it's trying to be so realistic and more grounded in realism and sort of the, you know, it's all humans and stuff and like guys with military gear but civilians and these small teams of firefights and stuff like that. And I just don't like what I've seen from the shooting and stuff. It just seems to take it. I feel like it takes me out of the experience to see them emptying like a whole magazine on an enemy and watching like their XP numbers shoot off above their head like in a traditional MMO.
Yeah.
And then the contrast between that and how realistic the graphics and animations and stuff look. It's just sort of jarring to me. I don't think it looks that appealing, and it just looks cheap, kind of.
Yeah, and it's like they're going for what I liked about it was because the game was announced, the gameplay was revealed around the same time as Destiny, and I liked this one better than Destiny because it looked like more my thing, but it also looked less of an MMO, but more of taking elements of an MMO to make a working, you know, 25-hour-long game. Which means that you don't need to pad for depth.
Right, and it's a really cool concept, too. Yeah. I mean,
instead, it looks like they're going for more MMO elements as time progresses to compete with Destiny, because Destiny added all this meta and endgame stuff and raids. And so as I was watching the last few gameplay videos, they were going more and more into these new multiplayer features, which made it to where you had to have incentive. Which means you're going to have lots of stat stuff. You're going to have lots of gear with numbers. You're going to have lots of guns with numbers and named guns and stuff like that that you have to collect and wait for drops. And that's how Destiny is. And so I was hoping that it wouldn't be like that and that it would be a more simple game. But instead, they're going for depth, which I don't feel matches Tom Clancy's style. It doesn't at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I don't have as big of a problem with those elements as I do just the shooting and the way it looks. I have to keep coming back to that.
That's why the shooting is flawed. That's why it's jarring. The shooting has to be like that too. Accommodate that type of gameplay with the stat focus and the MMO focus. It's got to be bullet spongy, which otherwise it won't work, and you'll just be killing people in two shots with all of the
guns. Yeah, exactly.
But that's what I want.
That's what I want too. I don't want to be sitting there in this like realistic post-apocalyptic game with everything else looks like the amazing particle effects and all this destructible environments, and then I'm sitting there like any other game, emptying an entire clip in an enemy and he won't die.
Yeah,
I mean it just doesn't look appealing to me. But I'll reserve judgment until maybe I play it myself.
I'm gonna wait for the reviews as well.
Yeah, I'm still very interested in it. And what it has to offer. I think it's an interesting concept. I think that style of gameplay where it kind of mixes genres with MMO but makes it a little more accessible to people who aren't used to traditional MMOs, I think it's a cool idea. And I think that, it's Destiny has done some cool stuff and maybe this will too. But I do think that I'm not quite as excited for it as I once was. So that's my...
Yeah, I think in the end it's going to be an okay game that has some people that really enjoy it, but it's not quite what...
I might wait for The Division Taken King to come out before I play it. So, I want to take a little break from some of the games on this list, and we'll come back to those, because I just want to talk about something, and that is Nintendo's next console possibly coming out in 2016. The Nintendo NX. I don't know if you guys have seen the reports that have come out just this week or maybe late last week about some rumors that it would interact with smartphones and possibly even the PS4. Somebody that was in the report that came out. I don't know what that means.
The NX reports have been so ridiculous.
They've been really and it'll run games at 900p. That was one said that I read.
I mean, that one seems more feasible than...
Yeah, that doesn't seem...
than some of these... some of these things just literally do not make sense. I mean, and I hope that when they reveal the console, it won't be like the Wii U, where we'll be like, wait, what is it again?
Yeah. It's definitely... So the rumor is that the... coming in 2016 and console. Oh, so this rumor says that the NX Portable coming in 2016 and the console is coming in 2017. So that's kind of an interesting concept. Because and from the beginning that they've talked about how it will be like a sort of a two-part console, that part of it will be the handheld piece and then maybe like a console attachment thing. I don't know exactly how to describe what I'm trying to say. I swear to God,
if it's anything like a fucking phone.
What I thought about it, the way that I've seen it described kind of makes me think that it's similar to a Wii U, but with a portable piece that you can actually take on the go and doesn't have to connect with the console, which I don't know exactly how that would work or if that's what if that is what it is, but I don't know. That's interesting. It is weird to have the portable device and the console releasing separately, but At this point, we know so little that I can't say that anything is...
They're doing a good job at making people speculate.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job at that.
It's odd to think that it might be coming in 2016 and we still know nothing about it. That seems a little weird to me.
The whole thing is just the weirdest, I think, one of the weirdest things.
It really is. It reminds me of a console release from Sega in the 90s.
Yeah.
Where they would just be like, all right. Regenerate
your seats, guys.
Yeah. The console's out. Oh, by the way, it's called a Sega Saturn. Yeah. it's in stores now. Yeah. It's very, very interesting. I mean, it seems like the one thing that I'll give Nintendo credit for is it seems like they saw that the Wii U wasn't, obviously it wasn't up to par with the existing consoles, but yet it wasn't casual enough to grab that audience like the regular Wii did. So they're, I guess, maybe seemingly trying to rectify that by just completely scrapping it and releasing a new console, which kind of sucks because the Wii U has some really good games that they would just scrap it that quickly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, maybe it's a cool thing, and maybe it'll be a new step for Nintendo. Maybe they will finally release a console that hardware wise is more up to snuff with the current generation of consoles, because that's something that they haven't really had in a long time.
Hopefully they'll make a console that people want to buy.
Yeah, and I hope...
Because I don't... Analysts are very concerned with them, with the forecast of them releasing a system in this market at this point as well.
Yeah, it's a really weird time to release a console, because right... I feel like it's kind of right when the PS4 and Xbox, maybe less so Xbox One, but it's kind of... They're both sort of getting to the point where they're very much establishing themselves and moving on to the next step of just kind of growing their catalog. I mean, they already have a pretty large install base.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to personally to want to go out thinking about going out next year and then buying a new console.
AKA just, Nintendo has a huge set of balls.
Yeah.
It could be their
sack.
But if they get third, if they, jeez, if they get, as opposed to a big balls and a small nut sack,
huh?
Is that what you said?
Did
you
say
a big, like just like a really tight?
I didn't say small nut sack.
No, you said big nut sack.
Yeah, I did.
Could you imagine like sitting down having like huge balls and just like, oh,
must just not be the most comfortable life to live.
No, absolutely not. Do you mind if we go back to the Nintendo console?
I don't mind at all.
Okay. So, the other thing I was going to say, which I have completely... Oh, the biggest thing, I think, for Nintendo at this point is they have to have third-party support from other developers and stuff like that, because the Wii U had some pretty great first-party games, but it wasn't even close to enough to... help the console, really. I mean, and it was because they, I mean, being technologically behind the other two consoles is a serious detriment, and it was one that paid off because they kind of struck gold with the Wii, but I don't think that's going to happen again. I don't see that happening twice. I think that was a product of the time that it was released, and I just don't think that can happen again. I think they need to move on from that approach. I mean, I'm not saying they need to move on from being Nintendo.
Well, here's the other problem. Isn't just that the Wii U was low spec. The issue with the Wii U was that it was a specialized system. The controller, the gamepad, it made developers walk away. They said, this is weird. We're not going to make something for this. It's too specialized. So the NX, I mean, they're trying to get... I know that they've been getting developers looking at it a year and a half ago. I think we were hearing about people getting their hands on the prototypes in development.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So, I mean, they've been really teaching people how to make stuff for this thing. But if it is how some of the patents looked, with like the controller being a fucking touchscreen that displays the game... First of all, that sounds terrible, so I hope to God that's not the case. But second... Like, if they do something weird with it, how are people going to develop things that aren't Nintendo? Nintendo's right. Going to put all their chips in that, but...
I mean...
The third party has to fit. I mean, Sony and Microsoft, their systems are just a computer.
Yeah.
Nintendo tries to make this fancy, weird thing with gimmicks and extra pieces, and you have to build for that.
You know, I feel like the gimmick things kind of come and go. Some of them stay a lot longer, the motion control stuff and things like that. Mm. But I feel like... You just can't stray too far from the traditional controller game sort of relationship. I mean, there are exceptions to that. Obviously, virtual reality is kind of a different scenario because it's kind of further engrossing you into the game. And you could argue that so are motion controls, but I just don't enjoy motion controls they're fun for certain games, but I'm not going to want to play every game like that. And then, and the gimmicky stuff, like the two screens on the Wii U, you know.
The gamepad was, I mean, it worked.
It worked for some stuff, but
as a single player thing, it was relatively comfortable, but I didn't need it.
No, I didn't need it. That's the most important thing. Virtual reality, I feel like, is kind of the next step. Like, that's where almost things kind of need to go from here.
Yeah.
The two screen stuff, I don't think it needs to happen. But anyway, speaking of virtual reality, virtual reality is going to be a big part of 2016, I think.
Yeah, already is.
It already is, and it's just going to get bigger. We have, the Oculus, the retail version.
Ships in April.
PlayStation VR, we still don't... I think it's slated for 2016, but I don't think they...
I think it's a winter thing.
Yeah, a winter thing. Or so that'll probably be closer to the holidays. And I'm sure that's because, you know, they... I'm sure that's going to be a huge part of E3 this year.
I wonder how successful that'll be.
So speaking of that, so I think we've talked about the PlayStation VR or whatever it was known as before, Project... Mm-hmm. What was it before?
Morpheus.
Yeah, Project Morpheus. But since then, just not too long ago, we found out that there's like a lot of games in development for the PlayStation VR. I mean, it's going to have a big push, and I think it'll probably have a big... I don't know if it'll have a big launch lineup, but I think it's that first year, well, it will have a lot more games than maybe I thought it was going to have. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, is important because these things live and die by the people making games for them, so it's cool to... Johnny, you and I were talking about this earlier. It's kind of cool that some of the Japanese developers are getting on board with it, too, because...
Yeah, there's more of an influence for Sony's system than... I had the Oculus. I didn't see anything other than, you know, random Miku dance and weird hentai stuff, so...
Nice.
Which, Phil, you should really check it out.
Oculus. Oh, yeah,
is it Maid Sim?
Oh, boy.
It seems like all the things that I was kind of worried about at first when I very first heard about this have sort of been, have been touched on. The fact that, I mean, they have a lot of people working on games for it was obviously the most important thing. But also, like, the processing behind it, because we talked about this way long ago, that obviously the PlayStation just isn't a beefy enough computer to even come close to being capable of...
It's weird that they made it work,
but evidently now I don't know if this is true, but the rumor is from a while ago that it has its own processing unit of some sort to work alongside the PS4. So it's probably going to be priced relatively high, close to a console, which they've also rumored.
Well, I mean, it'll be like $300 some, but the Oculus was like fucking $600 or $700 or something, which was a surprise. It was a huge disappointment to that subreddit. It was just people just like crying, like, "No, I'm not getting one."
What did they expect it to be?
Would they get one if they had
$350? It's literally.
What'd you say?
What about furry simulators?
If you want,
do you want? Sure. Do you want there to be a furry simulator,
I really
Phil?
Don't. I was just joking.
I think you want that,
Phil. I can find you a furry simulator, and I can.
Please don't.
You can come over.
It's all good. You can keep that to yourself, man.
You can come over and just...
I think you can probably import some furries into that Maid game.
Cool. This didn't work.
So... I think that it's cool to see VR becoming a... I don't know, I guess... being brought into the limelight so much. Because the Oculus has been... You know, it's been around for a while, like the dev kits and stuff, but...
They found out the Vive, analysts...
Oh, yeah, the Vive as well.
The Vive is coming out this year, and the Vive is cheaper to produce than the Oculus.
I heard about that. Very interesting.
Even though the Vive is incredible. So, I think that it'll be a fun race to see who gets crushed, but there's already millions and millions of dollars invested, so...
I'm hoping that I think it's really exciting. I think it'll be cool to see. Hopefully they all do relatively well, and hopefully I think the most important thing is that it, and I think with the PlayStation VR, it'll probably be more likely. But hopefully it gets kind of gets on with the general population, the casual gamer.
Yeah.
I think Sony will make that happen.
I think Sony will make it happen too. Absolutely. I think they yeah.
I mean, if it's really $300 and some for Sony VR, that's great.
Yeah.
For holiday season, $300.
Absolutely.
Whatever. Everybody bought Rock Band, with this $170 for a bunch of plastic shit in a massive box.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could totally see that happening this year.
Definitely. And I think it's just kind of an experience that speaks for itself, too. It's not something... I don't feel like it's something that you have to play to understand, although I think it helps. I mean, I think that VR is an interesting enough concept just on its own that when people know that it's out there and maybe see some of the games and stuff, that they'll jump on board, at least from the casual gamer's perspective. So,
yeah. I think the casual gamers would probably buy it without the games.
Yeah.
They'd probably be like, what? A virtual
just put it on and not have it on.
Well, that's why the Wii was successful. Nobody bought the Wii because they're like, oh, this lineup. The Wii was bought because everybody wanted they liked the idea.
Yeah.
Like, they wanted to play Wii Sports for a few hours. That's what they were dying to do.
My uncle has one. I mean, the guy's as old as my grandmother. You know? Yeah, it was just like a very casual audience thing.
It was
bought because it was...
Yeah, everybody played it.
I wonder, is there any chance that the PlayStation VR was like a standalone product? I mean, I don't know if they've...
I think, no, it needs to run off of PS4.
Yeah. That would be kind of weird if it was, but just curiosity. So, I'm excited. I hope that there is a... I also wonder with PlayStation VR if some of the big name games will have some sort of VR support. Like, if they'll start doing that. In the near future, not only just have specific games for the PlayStation VR, but have games with VR support, and like, you know, NBA 2K or something like that, like random,
like Alien Isolation did.
Yeah,
because Alien Isolation, exactly. You could edit the INI and have Oculus support.
Right.
So all a first person game has to do is just kind of add in that.
I bet you they'll have a Gran Turismo. For PlayStation VR.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. They've already got some racing thing for it, I think. They might have even announced it. I don't even know much about it. The fucking Final Fantasy 14 MMO has PlayStation VR support. That sounds cool, but I don't know what that means.
How very strange.
Ubisoft and that rumor... about Assassin's Creed not being this year.
I
look forward to what.
So let's get back
there.
In. Let's get back into the into some of the games now that we divulge into the VR stuff. So that's a good point. There was a rumor a few weeks back that there will not be an Assassin's Creed game, a main Assassin's Creed game this year.
Yeah.
That they are skipping this year, and in 2017, the sort of main team that creates the, like, that worked on Unity and whatever the previous, I think, three, that team is going to be working on the next Assassin's Creed title, and it's going to take place in Egypt, which I think is fucking awesome.
That's cool. There was actually...
But that's going to come out in 2017. That's the rumor.
There was Easter eggs in Assassin's Creed, I think, 3. Maybe 4 that kind of hinted at the next game taking place in Egypt.
Yeah, well, there was a tech demo for Egypt.
Oh, really?
That they released a couple years ago.
I would love that, honestly. I'm much more fond of the Assassin's Creed games being in ancient, more ancient times than more recent times.
Yeah, they just keep getting more and more modern.
Yeah, and I don't want the modern stuff. I think that the games exist better and are more interesting if they take place in some other.
Yeah. I'm so fucking sick of them being in the Gunpowder Age. It seems like the only reason they're sticking to that is so you can have guns.
I don't want that.
And guns sell.
When 3 was first announced and stuff, I thought it was, you know, it was interesting. But I hoped that it wasn't going to keep going that route, and it sort of did. Black Flag I really liked, so I can't...
Yeah, well, Black Flag was a different... We liked it for reasons...
Different reasons,
that
we
didn't like Assassin's Creed for, so...
and the other part of this rumor... is that Watch Dogs 2 is going to be the 2016 title from Ubisoft.
Which makes sense and sounds perfect, because problem with Watch Dogs 1 was too much hype. mm-hmm. Watch Dogs 2 comes out, and I mean, it's just going to be better than the first game. They had a great platform to improve upon. Just really easy to make it work. Maybe people will all of a sudden realize, oh, this is good, and it comes out of nowhere. People seem to like that.
Yeah, and the part of the rumor that I found interesting was that this was in direct response to the to what people felt about Unity, this decision.
Yeah.
Like Assassin's Creed Syndicate was already in the works by then, so they couldn't push it back. But the response they got from Unity and from the community, and that, you know, the shit on Unity because it was it didn't work very, it didn't play very well, and it wasn't a great game.
I remember the episode when you guys were laughing your asses off over it.
Yeah, so
more like crying.
The response from that game, the negative response, led Ubisoft to make the decision to push Assassin's Creed back. It wasn't like something that was already in the works. So I think that's cool that they're actually responding. And the sales for Syndicate
weren't very good.
So it's even more reason for them to do this, for them to push an Assassin's Creed game back here, which is something they've been needing to do for a long time.
Have any of you played Syndicate? Because I haven't.
No.
Is it a better game? Or
yes,
what?
And it's not a bad game. In fact, I've heard people say it's a really good game, but the problem with this franchise that I've said before is they don't need a good game. They need a break.
They have
a good game in Syndicate, and it's still not selling.
Yeah, it's like we're so fuck of seeing.
We're so
tired of seeing a fucking assassin run around with his edgy hoodie on. Just, I've seen that every year, marketed as the hot new game every year. The same looking character, and the same silly convoluted plot line.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see it for a while.
So let me ask you this. Do you find it odd that, say, for example, the rumor is true and Watch Dogs 2 is coming out this year? I find it odd that they haven't said anything yet, if that's the case.
Well, they announced Syndicate around this time last year, so I imagine they'll announce...
Do you think... Let me ask you this, another question for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Do you think that any big-time publishers will pull a Fallout 4 and announce a game around like the time of E3 or maybe a little earlier?
That was so successful for Bethesda to do. Someone
might... Did you say Bethesda?
How is it?
Bethesda.
Bethesda. I always saw it in my head as Bethesda. I don't know. Fuck me. Bethesda. Bethesda was real successful with that, so I wouldn't be surprised if there may be a copycat or two.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think that... I think that there's... you were saying this earlier, Johnny, that a lot of games in recent memory, like The Division and Watch Dogs, they get hyped to death before they come out.
Yeah.
To the point where when they finally do come out, it's like people are already just waiting to pick it apart, like a bunch of, like, fucking alligators that you're just like throwing some food to and just chomp all over it. I mean, it's like people are just looking for reasons to pick something apart.
Especially if it looked really pretty at the reveal.
Yeah, which is what you don't want. Yeah, that's another good point. Don't release, like, a stage demo of a target you're probably not going to hit.
Oh, remember Killzone 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like...
Okay, everybody watched that back then and was like, no.
Yeah. But I would be... I would love a Watch Dogs 2. I really liked Watch Dogs 1. And I think it would be cool if they just came out and said, yeah, we're releasing Watch Dogs 2 this year.
Well, I mean, if you think about Ubisoft's announcement model, they usually do the annual announcement. So I remember Black Flag, actually every single Assassin's Creed after Brotherhood was announced within the year that it came out.
Right. But so, those are also yearly titles. So right. you only have a small window of time to announce it.
But we don't really know what they're planning to do with Watch Dogs. I mean, it's very reasonable for in the... Last, was it 2 years ago it came out?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's only bound... I mean, it sold really well, so...
Yeah.
I think it's bound to happen.
I think so, too.
I'm surprised they haven't announced it already, but I wouldn't be... I'm not going to be surprised at all when they do, because I expect it.
Let's see. Deus Ex. That comes out pretty soon as well. I think it got pushed back, though.
Yeah.
Is it in the summer that it comes out now?
I believe so.
I don't remember. Phil, you are a big fan of Deus Ex.
I'm not as much of a fan of Deus Ex as I want to be. I really like Deus Ex.
Then fuck you. Johnny, you're a big fan of Deus Ex, right?
Yes.
Sorry, Phil.
Sorry.
August 23rd.
Okay. So, yeah. So, a late summer release.
I think it has great music. I like the voice acting. I just love the way the game looks. And, you know, I wish I played more into the game than I did. I got into this boss fight, and it got really frustrating, and it kicked my ass.
God damn you, Phil. You're so...
I should get back into it.
Should, man.
This new one looks pretty much the same, but with better, more modern graphics. Direct continuation of the plot for some reason. Although, yeah, I don't know. I hope it's good. I don't think it'll be... I don't think I'll like it as much as Human Revolution because it looks a lot like Human Revolution, and even if it plays better, the story in Human Revolution was really good because it sent you to a lot of cool locations, like, you know, Neo Detroit, mm-hmm. and Shanghai, China, with the giant city built above it. Like, that was cool. In this game, you're in Prague, and it looks very European and slummy. I don't know. That's boring. But and the story has got like a Russian bad guy. Oh, never seen that before. gameplay will be great though.
So, yeah,
I mean, and the world
and
is
the
always
story might be great.
The story will probably be good at the least. I mean, mm-hmm. It's kind of hard for me to fuck that up. It's just that my love for the first game isn't really what I don't feel like it's quite tuned the same way, but. Fans of the series seem to be impressed with what they've seen. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It looks really good. So, I'm excited for it. And I think that there was, I mean, the Human Revolution was really good. I think the biggest knock on it was obviously the boss fights, which people talk about, and I think they've more than learned their lesson.
You get so beaten to shit.
Yeah, it really does. So.
It's like Bioshock 1's ending. Do you remember how it's like, it's the perfect game except that fuck up of an ending?
Really?
Oh,
everyone loved the ending.
No, everyone hated the ending.
Bioshock 1?
Bioshock 1. Back when it came out, I remember I had all the magazines. There were people writing letters. I was on the internet. People would not stop shitting on the ending. I remember reading articles about Bioshock 2 where they would say, oh, we know the ending of the first Bioshock sucked. We're working on making a great ending for Bioshock 2.
Are we talking about a different game here?
Because Bioshock 1.
Only know...
And I like the ending. And I know some people that do, but there is this...
It was a perfect ending.
It was like Deus Ex, where it was just people would not shut up for like a few years. It was
weird. Remember hearing the negative reception.
You don't hear it much anymore, but it was a thing.
Well, I remember being I played the game literally when it came out. I mean, I was very into all the hype and stuff, and
I knew that the ending was supposed to be crap before they hated the boss fight. They hated that the boss fight
that it makes sense. But the actual story part of the ending.
Yeah, well, they...
People...
Well, I guess they didn't like the cutscenes. They thought the cutscenes were cheesy and that your choices led to a cheesy, not satisfactory 2-minute CG cutscene. They thought that the game was better than that. Which, I mean, I guess...
I do remember the final cutscene being kind of short with...
The final cutscene was just kind of like, it is what it is. It's not like, wow. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. It's over. It was really, really amazing. The boss fight, I didn't see that big of a problem with it. I thought the biggest problem was the escort mission with the little sister towards the end. It was like, that's kind of lame. But nobody really complained about that as much as they did that final boss.
I see what you're saying.
Because it was the only detractor from a perfect game.
You mean, I didn't realize you were talking about the actual boss fight itself rather than, like, the what happens story-wise.
Right. That was what I meant, because they complain about Deus Ex's bosses as well. And I feel like Deus Ex's bosses were, well, they're stupid and corny,
mm-hmm.
and they're a flaw, but they're not fun. I mean, they don't fit the game's design philosophy.
And I think that was
the
biggest thing, is people, like... you know, doing a stealth playthrough of the game, don't like these stupid bullet sponge boss battles.
It's really frustrating and dumb, and I get why people talk about it. But it's like the easy thing to pick on in the game, and it's like, I didn't find it to be. I thought that the boss characters were dumb. I didn't think that the fights were that bad. They were just classic.
Metal Gear Solid does that.
That was literally what they were doing. These boss fights feel like Metal Gear bosses.
Yeah.
Except not as cool, you know. That is entirely Deus Ex's bosses, and people hated that because it was jarring. And it was. They had the weird arena setup where you'd, like, find all the items that you need to blow it up, just, like, conveniently laid out, like a multiplayer map. Mm-hmm. They're weird, but they're very classic. They fit with the old first Deus Ex.
Next time, I'm gonna play the new Deus Ex game just with guns a-blazing.
There you go.
Sometimes stress. I like stealth, but sometimes it's just too damn stressful.
I like your style, Phil.
No, do what I do and go lethal stealth, where you just get the big guns, but you try not to get caught. Because if you get caught, then it's just kind of boring. But if you're sneaking around and then blowing the shit out of people, and then you get caught halfway through the mission, then it gets intense. Yeah.
So I want to break this up into like little smaller categories so we can get through some of these maybe in a little bit quicker fashion.
Well,
so,
some of these we probably don't have much to say.
Let's talk about some of these. So there's a few like maybe smaller releases that
chime one in. Resident Evil Origins. I think it comes out in a few days, or maybe it already came out.
Dude. You talking about the HD?
Yeah, on the physical releases. Mm.
Yeah,
I'm psyched for it. I pre-ordered it. I can't wait to play it. I think I'm gonna go.
I don't know much about it.
It's Resident Evil Zero and Resident Evil HD in one package. And I'm gonna go see if. Actually, I'm gonna look it up after we're done recording to see if it's out. It's gonna come out really soon, but I forgot to put that on the list. I wasn't sure if it even counted.
Yeah, it comes out this year. I mean, it definitely counts. I figured some of these, like, some of the smaller titles. So, some of the lesser known titles. So, like, Nioh,
I'm really interested in what they do with it.
So, let's talk about that, and then we can talk about, like, Cuphead and Firewatch. Because those are kind of all, like, smaller, lesser known games. So, let's talk about those. So, Nioh. So, who's developing this? I forget. Is it a Capcom game?
It's Koei Tecmo.
Koei Tecmo. That's right. Because it's the Warriors
fucking
people.
Dynasty Warriors people stepping it up with all their money.
So this game, we first saw it, was it last year at E3? In Sony's conference? Or
no, it was a Japan
event. Oh, yeah. It was like Tokyo Game Show or something?
Yeah.
And so they showed this game, just a quick glimpse of the gameplay, and it looks... to me, it reminded me of, like, Onimusha, mixed maybe with a little bit of Souls inspiration.
Oh, cool.
And then it has sort of, like, RPG elements. You can get gear and different things that it looked like. And it's just, like, an action sort of hack-and-slash RPG type of game.
But you fight fucking Japanese folklore yokai, and it's just really dark.
Yokai Watch.
Yeah, Yokai. It's basically Yokai Watch, except you rip out their fucking skulls instead of, like, you know, tame them. And
right.
Yeah. They're not cute. They're horrifying.
There might be cute stuff. We don't know.
There could be some cute stuff.
This game just kind of... The reason I liked this game and that it immediately, like, struck me was just because it reminded me of... it reminded me of a better time. No, it just reminded me of, like, older... You know, we used to see a lot more of these kind of games. Like, just that third-person action hack-and-slash RPG type of game. And now there's, like, the Souls series, and then there's a few, like, Lords of the Fallen. Yeah. You know, there just isn't... You don't see a lot of these kind of games anymore. So it's cool that there's a completely new IP coming out, and it looks cool.
It looks really cool.
And it has atmosphere, which for the Warriors series, the developers,
yeah.
It's like, wow.
That's a very good point. I mean,
it's a big step up for them.
Yeah.
But they've been swimming in money with their recent decisions to turn the Warriors franchise into, you know, a Nintendo thing with the Zelda, and then the Dragon Quest one, and then the Arslan one. This made them a lot of money in a short amount of time. So
the game looks really good, too, graphically. I mean, it looks pretty.
Oh, yeah.
You and I were joking about this before, like, that the developers who work on those games are probably just super talented. They just keep getting forced to make Warriors games.
And they don't. Assignments.
Yeah. So
I think it's... Man, that fire looks so fucking good.
So, one quick diversion. We don't know when this is coming out.
No.
What the fuck happened to Capcom's Deep... Deep Down?
Deep Down, yeah.
Fuck happened to that? Are we getting that ever?
The last I heard, it was still in development, but
they announced it like 4 years ago or something.
It was a while.
We saw like gameplay like 3 years ago.
I feel like it was like E3 2013 or something that we saw that game.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird.
Which was another game like this.
So maybe we'll see Deep Down this year.
I'd be cool with that. I'd love to see another Capcom. Now
probably won't come out, but we'll probably see something.
Yeah.
Or it'll be canceled, but we'll probably get some.
So Cuphead.
Cuphead.
That was the next game on the list. Cuphead. I can't express enough how excited I am for that game. I love everything about it.
I'm not necessarily like stoked to just, oh god, get my hands on that gameplay, but I just want to like see everything that they animated.
Yeah, I'm like, so mostly. Excited. I just fucking love unique platformers that do different stuff with the art style. Like that's one of my favorite things to experience. And this game just looks so cool. It literally looks like it was just ripped from like even the characters in the
old Merry Melodies cartoon.
Yeah, it just
or that one that we saw the other day, the first use of the F word on cinema.
Was it Porky Pig?
And no, God, it was some cartoon character
like from this age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where no definable character, but it was like a black cat looking thing.
Yeah, and there was this guy like this big lanky guy, and he was riding a bike all devious looking. And then it cuts to this little kid, and he's like standing there, and he goes, "That dirty fuck."
That was the first use of the F word.
Yeah, and this is like back in what the, I don't know, 30s, 40s, or something like that.
There is an old Looney Tunes cartoon where Porky Pig stumps his toe, and he goes, "Ow, son of a gun!" And he looks at the screen, and he goes, "You probably thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?"
Interesting.
Yeah. I laughed hard when I saw that. But anyway, this looks like a really fun game.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm super stoked to play it.
Yeah, and similarly, Firewatch looks really compelling, really simple.
I gotta be honest, something about Firewatch has just I don't know what it is, but everything I've seen in that game, like when they first showed the gameplay demo of it, I haven't watched anything since then.
Yeah.
Because it's a story-driven game and I don't want to have anything spoiled. But I did see, you know, that first initial walkthrough they played. And something about it, like the interaction between the characters...
just sucks you in.
It just sucks you in. Exactly.
Within seconds. It's one of those things you're like, oh no, don't bother me. I'm doing this.
Yeah, thing. I find it super compelling.
I'm going to beat that game in like one sitting, and I'm going to just like be like, oh, wow. And quality writing and visuals are great, and just everything looks atmosphere.
Dialogue is super, is really good too. The like you said, the voice acting and everything, and like every time I think of that game, it's funny because I'm like, who was up in the tower? Like I'm thinking about that in my head. Like I want to know what's behind the mystery and stuff. Yeah. So I'm really excited for that game. I think it's going to be really cool.
Surprisingly, coming soon is Dark Souls 3.
Yes.
That game is coming out.
Yeah, let's move on to the RPGs on the list. We got Dark Souls 3, we got Final Fantasy.
You got Ni No Kuni 2.
15, Ni No Kuni 2. So let's talk about those.
So Dark Souls 3. Dark Souls 3 is coming off hot off the tails of Bloodborne's DLC that came out a few months ago. Bloodborne itself came out less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And so we're already getting a new Souls masterpiece. Whatever. I played the demo. It was Dark Souls. It wasn't Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were like, oh god, I hope they don't use too much Bloodborne. I was kind of like, please learn from Bloodborne. No, it's Dark Souls. But visually it looks great. You know, the designs are back to being regular fantasy. But the bosses are still fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
The regular enemies are like... it's just jarring going back from Bloodborne where you had a regular enemy was really creative and then you go back to Dark Souls 1 and 2 And it's just, it's a big skeleton balls. Instead of the little skeleton. And he's red, which means he's harder. And it's like, there's some really great designs for the regular enemies in Souls games, but there are still a lot of fantasy cliches that don't ever require any effort.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, say that. It's using the same engine as Bloodborne.
It looks like Bloodborne visually.
It does.
And so playing a Dark Souls game with Bloodborne graphics will alone make it great. I think that it'll probably be... They could easily make it the best Dark Souls game for me. Most people would disagree and say the first one's like a masterpiece.
Right.
But I think that gameplay-wise, I liked 2 better than 1, and which is a controversial opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that 3 could easily step up on that. I don't think that Dark Souls 3 will be as good as Demon's Souls or Bloodborne, but... It's great that we got another game coming out, and it's kind of sad that this will be the last one. I hope when they say that, they mean the last Dark Souls game, and not game using what all they've learned in these last, 7 years or whatever.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I hope they... I'd like to see, them go to new ideas and stuff, kind of like they did with Bloodborne, but... I still would like to see them stick to this genre, because they do it so well.
I hope they don't do some fucking, idle Sims or something.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It would be super cool if their next game was one of the... What do they do? Way of the Samurai and the ninja one.
Mm. Wait, Tenchu?
Tenchu.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was...
If, Tenchu.
If a new Tenchu got announced...
Yeah.
I'd be.
Yeah?
I would be.
I remember loving the PS2 game. The original and the PS2 game.
Well, they were just... There was nothing like them. There literally was nothing like them. They were just like a realistic stealth ninja game. It was unheard of at the time. Every other ninja game has always been, go kill 1,000 different guys and stuff. And then
Tenchu... Fucking Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden. You just like kill all these weird creatures and enemies and fight bosses. And then Tenchu comes along and it's just like... Oh wait, where are all the enemies? Oh, they're inside, and you want to avoid them. You're crawling, you're walking slowly across the rooftops, and if you see an enemy, it's like a tense situation because the fighting and controls weren't that great.
Did you ever see Way of the Samurai?
Yeah. Oh fuck yeah.
Okay. Good.
Absolutely.
I have it. I think I should.
It's similar to Tenchu. Same kind of, same engine, same idea, but samurai.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
And none of them... What's intriguing about the series is that they're really fucking cool, and none of them have reached... None of them have ever had a great review. Like, no. They all come out and they're like, yeah, it's okay, but it's good if you like, the idea behind it, but there's not a lot to it. It just kind of is what it is, and it's cool, but it's not a great game. And I'm waiting for them to make a great game like that, because mm-hmm. they've got the formula and the idea down perfectly. And now they've got fucking... Oodles of money. Oodles.
And they know how to make a great game at this point. I mean,
they've learned so much.
They've learned so much. So, next game on the list, RPG.
Ni No Kuni Deuce.
Is that coming out in 2016? How do you
pronounce that? Ni No Kuni 2? What? Ni No Kuni?
I got it, never mind.
That's how you pronounce it. No,
spell, sorry.
Ni No Kuni... might not come out this year. There's no window released.
So far, it's just been announced.
Basically. Yeah, they announced it before Christmas this last year.
I wish River was here to talk about Ni No Kuni, because he played it. And watching him play Ni No Kuni was one of my favorite things.
Oh, it's a great game to watch.
God, I loved watching it. I know the combat system was really...
Some people really liked it, but I didn't.
I've heard...
It has a Miyazaki look to the animation.
It does.
Because it is... Because it's Studio Ghibli.
But 2 is not.
Well, 2 is not animated by them. It doesn't have the 2D cutscenes by them, but they still use the art style mm-hmm. and the aesthetic. There is nothing about the trailer for 2 that does not look 100% the same influence.
Right. I'm watching it right now.
The music is still Joe Hisashi and the Tokyo Philharmonic.
Mm-hmm. God, it's a beautiful game.
And so, and honestly, what drove me up the wall in Ni No Kuni 1 was the characters. They were too young. Their coming of age story was like I was watching, toddlers come of age. They were kids growing up. and dealing with the harshness of life, which is one of my favorite storytelling platforms.
Fuck you, man. They're just kids. Leave them alone.
I'd rather them be a little older. I mean, like a little older. I don't need them to all be adults. I like that when games do that. But for a coming-of-age story, every coming-of-age story has them be like 14 or 15. Like, that is the quintessential coming-of-age age, or 17 or something. This, they're like fucking 8. they're like 10. But that's too young. They're children. They're not... Yeah. They're not of age. when they come of age.
That's understandable.
So the fact that you only have two kids, and then this one weird guy who looks like Shaggy, he just shows up and is like, "Hey kids, I'm creepy and like 40." It's just that's the party. Like, I don't know.
I'm going to add a game to this list, and that's which iteration of Dragon Quest is?
Dragon Quest Minecraft.
No. The new Dragon Quest coming out, which number is it going to be, the newest one? What are they at right now? Is it 10 or 11?
10 is the MMO. I don't know what Dragon Quest game is coming out.
Well, they announced a new Dragon Quest game.
11, is that a thing? Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Is that coming out in 2016?
The fuck? It's like a DS game.
Well, it's coming out for PlayStation 4 and DS.
Oh. Weirdly. Yeah, I guess I forgot about this announcement.
Right. Anyway, I don't know if
we're not going to get it.
Yeah. Well, still, it might come out in 2016. That's what it's announced for recently.
Square Enix has been so fucking stupid about Dragon Quest that it'll probably... Even now, when they're localizing everything under the sun, we'll probably get it, but mm-hmm. it will be a while.
Yeah. And then the big RPG release is obviously Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, which...
I can't believe that's coming out this year.
It won't. No, it probably will, but a part of me is just like, yeah, that's never going to come out. I have no idea what I'll think about it. I could totally love the game, and I could be completely about it when it comes out. Because I just don't know how I feel about it. Some things are just obviously incredible, but I feel like so many things are misdirected from that demo that are just kind of like, there are so many things in a game that captivating that were in the way and were kind of boring, and it was just weird. I don't know, the game was just weird. That was like one of the weirdest demos I've ever played.
I will say, from what I saw, it looked really interesting, and there was something, there's definitely some captivating stuff about it, and but there was some also weird contrast between like the styles. I feel like there's sort of a clash of different styles.
You see a big Final Fantasy city that looks like the one from the Advent Children movie, and then you've got the fucking Oregon woods, like
yeah,
with Winnebagos and giant monsters and Final Fantasy hair and zippers. Like, I just don't know what to think about that.
A Winnebago could be in Midgar somewhere. Right. You know?
Yeah, you're right,
yeah,
Phil.
I mean, I think a Winnebago
could be.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's
fucking. You're right. Final Fantasy 15 is gonna be great.
No, I'm not.
Final Fantasy 15.
Winnebagos could be in
sponsored
Midgar.
By Winnebago.
But as far as that world goes, I'd love to see that world portrayed in a movie. You know, and to me, when it comes to the style, I mean, it's Final Fantasy to me. There's magic, and there's also cars.
It's, to me, it's just a little too obviously like our world and Final Fantasy world. And, like, all the best ones have been in a very Final Fantasy world, whereas this is like, it's like Uncanny Valley with its world design, where it's like, this is a very Final Fantasy-looking mountain. This is like Oregon, you know, fucking Doug Furs. Like, this is weird. And with that, you see a lot of plain, like, Final Fantasy has had some, like, open world type of actions to it in, like, an MMO way in the past. Like, Final Fantasy XII, very open game, but in a very different kind of way. It's in a way that really worked for it. And Final Fantasy XV, I don't get what they're doing with the open world at all. It was, like, really boring for me to run around in it. I love open worlds sometimes. I just don't get why this has one. Like, the whole demo was you just aimlessly walking around repetitious woods that were beautiful, but that didn't feel Final Fantasy-esque at all. Like, I was just running around the grand old pretty countryside, and the birds were chirping, and my party was just all dressed in deep black, and which was this horrible color contrast.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on the characters yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone is.
It's just this bromance party, which I think is kind of funny and seems like it'll be wonderfully entertaining with all the quintessential Japanese bro tropes. and I think that will be entertaining with the characters. There aren't like any girls. Which for a Final Fantasy game, those are kind of, you know, important.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Final Fantasy 15 is a mystery. I have no idea how good it'll be. It could just be great, but the whole demo was like the weirdest thing ever. That demo did not give a feel for what the game was going to be like. I had more of an idea for what the game was going to be like before I saw the demo and played it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm excited for this. Then I played the demo. I was like, this is really fucking weird. And then they're updating the demo with like a 2.0 and completely overhauling it. Oh, see that big monster? You can attack that now. And then we've redone the gameplay. Like, what is this, an MMO? Like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you touching up the demo more? Make the game come out faster, please.
I still hope we get it in 2016.
Me too.
It's pretty much guaranteed.
Okay, I didn't know that.
In fact, they did a poll on the Square Enix website. It said, what would you buy, Persona 5 or Final Fantasy 15 if they both released in the summer? Basically, the game's ready to release by summer, but they don't know if it's smart to compete with Persona 5.
It's understandable.
Which is weird that it's gotten at the Shin Megami Tensei game has even in Japan built up enough to like compete with Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy is the one that's has crushed it. They've never sold. They've always sold okay. They get great acclaim, but they don't sell.
They never sold as much as Dragon Quest, right? In Japan,
what, Final Fantasy?
Yeah, in Japan at least.
Dragon Quest has always beaten it. Yeah.
So let's move on to a few games that are kind of more action oriented. So we got Quantum Break, we got Mafia 3, and we got Uncharted 4. Let's start with Uncharted 4 because I think that one will be brief. We've talked about it a ton.
Yeah,
we're all fucking excited for it. Me mostly.
Yeah, probably. It's Uncharted.
It's Uncharted. It's gonna be good. Great. The trailers and stuff look really good. It fucking looks incredible, the graphics. Even, I played the multiplayer, the animations quality is incredible, and so, anyway, I'm super stoked about it. I'm a little worried that they're gonna kill someone.
I hope that they kill someone. I like it when Uncharted moves on. That's my favorite part.
I want...
They do things.
Yeah. But, I'm really excited. It's an interesting dynamic, the story with him and his brother, and...
Yeah, that looks it looks good.
Yeah, Quantum Break is a game.
It sure is.
It's a time manipulation.
I have nothing to say about Quantum Break.
I will say that I'm excited for it, and especially after the last stuff they showed. This was after, I don't remember when it was, but the
Game Awards.
Yeah, something like that. This was like the first. I remember the last video that the last gameplay I watched was when it was kind of when it got sort of overhauled, like they got the actors in place and stuff like that. And so anyway, it looks really cool. I really like Remedy as a developer because I'm a huge fan of Max Payne and I liked Alan Wake. It looks really good. I mean, it just looks absolutely stunning, the graphics and stuff. And they've always been really good, a really good developer for their attention to detail and their just technical prowess. I mean, the games that they make kind of push the boundaries, I feel like, and try things. I mean, Alan Wake was, if it would have come out originally when it was first announced, it would have been like one of the best looking games ever.
Yeah.
By the time it came out, it still looked really good. It maybe didn't look quite as good as it would have, but this game looks amazing. Like the particle effects and when you slow down time, some of the different effects that are happening and stuff like that. It looks really cool. It looks interesting.
Nice.
The story's a lot more
compelling to me than it was originally when I first heard about it. After seeing some of like the cut scenes, it seems like it has sort of like some noir, like investigative elements to it, which is really cool.
Can't go wrong so, there.
Anyway, I'm really excited for it. Honestly, I think it'll be a really cool game.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
they're really good writers that team too. Which so that's
they really well they need a hit and then. Microsoft needs an exclusive, so yes. That's what I'm excited for. I don't really know anything about it. Every time I've seen it, I've been like, what's that? It's kind of like Until Dawn, where that's like always just been this name that I've heard.
Yeah.
Ah, Quantum Break. And then I'll see like a 20-second snippet of it in some like trailer montage and just like not get it. And be like, what is it? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that works out for them. It's been delayed like 30 goddamn times. So.
Yeah, it seems like Remedy games always get delayed.
I think more people will play the game than watch the show.
Kind of like, oh, that's, God, the idea of the show is not good.
Forget about that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because do you remember when they made a fucking, that weird Gears of War-like MMO thing?
Yes, God.
With a terrible show.
Defiance.
Defiance.
Wait, is there a show? Or are those just real-time
cutscenes? That was a Gears of War show?
No,
hold on a second.
Gears of War,
is there an actual show? Or are you just...
Yeah, no, there's a show for Quantum Break.
Okay.
It's like a sci-fi, or it's another sci-fi video game tie-in show thing. Which is honestly like one of the first things I learned about it, which is why I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Still excited for it.
We have Gears of War 4 on there, but is anybody really excited for Gears of War 4?
No.
I mean...
I haven't been excited about
Gears,
a new Gears game for a long time.
You know, Gears, it's... I, when I play it, it'll be fun. I'm sure I'll have a good time, but I'm not super hyped for it before it comes out. Mafia 3, though, I'm excited for.
Mafia 3 is my... If not for Persona 5, it is my second most... Like, I'm most confident in Mafia 3 being one of the best games of the year.
Wow. That's a strong statement there.
I'm like second most excited and interested in where it goes. The gameplay looked really fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like really fun, and I really want to see Mafia 2 grow, and that this looks like it. I like the setting. I like the jazzy atmosphere.
I really like the setting too, and I think that it's an interesting take on the story. I like it's mm-hmm. it's something that it's unique and different. They're doing a different type of storytelling, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, it's you know, all the New York Mafia stuff is always, it's cool and fun to play, and but it's been done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all seen a lot of Mafia stories that are the traditional
New
York Italian mobs and the five families and stuff.
My whole life, so. I always wanted to be a gangster.
Yeah. So, so I'm excited. I agree with you. I think it's cool what they're doing. The jazzy sort of New Orleans feel. They really seem like, just from the short gameplay they've shown, that they nail the atmosphere. And it looks really fucking good, too.
Yeah. I
it's honestly probably one of the most impressive looking games I've seen that's coming out this year.
I just can't wait to stab someone in the face.
I think I'm just guaranteed to like whatever they do with it a lot. So,
and it's a different team, which I think if it was the same team that like developed Mafia 1 and 2 developing this game... And that people wouldn't be complaining about the setting as much. I think that people are just complaining about the setting because it's a different team and they think that they're not going to...
It's like the Treyarch Call of Duty.
Exactly.
When that first happened, it was like, oh, fuck that, even though they weren't very good. And then the Obsidian, like, you know, the initial Fallout New Vegas is like, this isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a year later, people are like, wait, oh, we're retarded. Oh.
Right. So I'm excited for it. I think it'll be really good. And it seems like it's pretty concrete that it's coming out this year. I thought, if I remember correctly, that it was even coming before like the fall-winter period, like sometime during the summer or something like that. Maybe that's bullshit. Ooh. But two games I want to talk about now that sort of fit into the same genre. Ratchet & Clank and Yooka-Laylee. We don't need to talk about them a whole lot, but I will say that I'm excited for the new Ratchet & Clank. I love the Ratchet & Clank games.
Who doesn't?
And the movie, even I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be cool to have a movie because it looks like it just looks like the game.
Yeah,
which I like about the movie. It's
you
just
can't go wrong.
It's computer generated. It looks like you're just watching the cutscenes from the game. And they've always had, for what they are, like just the standard sort of, you know, more kid oriented action game with, you know, animal characters and stuff like that. They have fun stories and really good characters and stuff like that in those games, and they're surprisingly funny in a mature way too.
That's always good.
It's kind of like I compare it to some of like the cartoons that we used to watch where they would sneak in adult jokes that you could appreciate later in life that maybe you didn't understand when you were a kid.
Yeah, so. like the original Ghostbusters or Back to the Future. Yeah. Ratchet and Clank.
So I'm excited for Ratchet and Clank. Ukulele, I'm excited for.
I'm fairly excited for that.
Yeah, I don't have to see anything to be excited for Ukulele, honestly. Like, they could just tell me who's working on it,
yeah,
and then I could play the game when it comes out and, you know, just have fun with it because I trust the team working on it. I know the music's going to be good, and I think it'll be cool. You guys have anything to say about Ratchet and Clank or Ukulele?
I think this needs to be the Ratchet and Clank game I finally play.
I only played the first one when it came out, and I liked it enough when I was a kid. I thought that the trailer for the movie looked gorgeous, and I didn't like the dialogue in the trailer. I remember the cutscenes. I've watched some cutscenes to see how the dialogue was. And they're still really good in the games. They're, like, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the trailer looked more like just a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But, obviously, the visuals were surprisingly really made it look like an actual movie rather than a video game movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is, like, a franchise that you can make into an animated movie, and it works really well. Like, I just hope that the writing isn't shit like it was.
Yeah. That's one thing I wanted to say about Ratchet and Clank is that it looked really good too. Like the gameplay they've showed looks really pretty. Sometimes I feel like the games that those brightly colored and sort of kids games, you know, the kind of more cartoony ones, do more to show off the graphical power of a console maybe than some of the more realistic games.
Like fucking Viva Pinata.
Yeah, like Viva Pinata. Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Was I loved the way that game looked. It was just I had so much fun with that game, and part of it was a lot of it really was about the look of it. So
Viva Pinata was like the next gen game everyone was waiting for visually, but yeah. No one was everyone was too embarrassed to play it.
That game was, yeah.
It was pretty good.
What else we got in here? Oh.
Mirror's Edge?
Yeah, that's not on here.
It is.
Oh, it is on there. Cool. Mirror's Edge, and then let's talk about another free running game, Gravity Rush.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, I know you're super stoked about Mirror's Edge Catalyst, so tell me.
The reason why I like Mirror's Edge 1 for the world, and that was it. Like, the gameplay was really hard for me. I'm really bad at platformers. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm a little worried about Catalyst, because I might suck at it. But even if I do, I'm going to like it, because the world is amazing in Mirror's Edge, and this is open world. And the kind of open world that I like. It's like Deus Ex Human Revolution, where it's like lightly open world. Like, there's an overarching story, but really there's little waypoints on the way where it's like side missions, side things. It's not like a sandbox. That sounds like precisely what Mirror's Edge needed to be really interesting.
I just hope they're not going to have those stupid cutscenes.
No, those were the most complained about. They are gone. They are gone.
Mirror's Edge is probably one of my favorite game worlds in any game ever.
It's visually. Like, there's no real lore behind it, but for some reason, the world, the interior design is like it's like an architect's wet dream, that whole game.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the overall atmosphere of the game, and I'm talking about, like, the music and just, like, everything fits together so
all the
well.
The vibes, yeah. The it's like you went into a 3D modeler's a Blender portfolio, or, you know, 3D modeling portfolio, and you looked at the really low texture but like stunningly well lit 3D models, and you made a game out of that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And just the bloom is cranked, and the colors are vibrant, and just, like, I want to live here.
Yeah.
This game makes me want to eat an orange, because the fucking orange and lime colors.
This game makes me want to eat fucking acidic fruit, yeah, because it's so... So bright and beautiful.
If I could describe Mirror's Edge with one word, it's citrus.
Citrus. It's a good word to describe it. I'm getting a citrusy vibe watching this trailer. Although it takes place at night, so it's maybe not quite as citrusy.
Also cool because you didn't get to see enough of Mirror's Edge at night.
And it looks beautiful at night.
And
I like all the decisions they've made with this game. They've already said that there's no guns in the game. Catalyst,
there's no guns, but there's more of an emphasis on action oriented I thought there were guns.
That's cool.
No,
I would like to play this game with it solely just being hand to hand combat.
They just upped the pace. You take down enemies more often, but they make it quicker so that it fits the tempo of the running and getting away, where you go into a room, there's three guys lined up in a hall, and you beat the one guy, you beat the other guy, you beat the other guy, but it's all really quick and snappy. It gives the game a better sense of rhythm.
You're always on the go.
Because it sounded terrible to me before, because the combat really sucked in the first one, and then I watched it, how they improved it, and they made it really snappy and quick. In Catalyst, you don't have to stop and break the rhythm of the run. Right.
Yes, very, very much rhythmic game. It kind of reminds me of like Splinter Cell Conviction, how you could do, you know, you could do different attacks on the go and just keep walking through the level as you stab someone in the throat. And
you're right. There's
no guns.
I didn't know there was no guns. That's great.
Yeah.
I like that when the enemies shoot at you with guns, but...
Well, I think that's probably... You just can't use guns in this game.
The guns were like a statement in the first game, because it was like, well, these are shit. Just throw them down. But, like, the fact that you could pick them up just, like, kind of detracted from the game.
It just didn't fit.
It's like, you never need to use these. Why are they here?
I think that they have a good grasp of what everyone loved about the first game.
Yeah.
Looking at the second.
And they've been given it a lot of time also to make it work, which is the most important thing. I mean, it was a long time ago when Mirror's Edge came out.
Yeah. It was.
That was like
2007 or 8?
It's like 2008, I think, because I remember being hyped for it. It came out before Fallout 3 a little bit, like that year.
Yeah. Wow. God, that's crazy to think it was that long ago. What was the other game we were... Gravity Rush 2.
Gravity Rush 2, and more notably, Gravity Rush 1
Remastered.
Remastered, yeah, we get very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard great things about Gravity Rush. Even when I had a Vita, I was like, I don't like the platformy-looking thing to it. But there's a lot of story and combat focus that looked really cool. And I didn't see... Like, when you look at gameplay trailers of Gravity Rush, you see just how... ridiculous it gets. It gets pretty insane. Like when the way you line up your shots. I mean, you're just flinging your body around like a weapon, like a projectile, and just shifting gravity to make it you fly really really far, go really really fast, and just plow into an enemy. And then there's this secondary character that gets introduced that also has the same ability. And so I think there's like a boss fight where you fight against another player that can control gravity. And, you know, and this is an open sky, so you're like flying through the air, just like beating the shit out of each other. It's just a crazy, crazy mind trip and unique game. And the character designs are great. They're based off some weird like French styling. And
Gravity Rush Remastered looked beautiful, and Gravity Rush 2 looks even more so. I mean, it looks really good. I like the art style.
I'm excited to get two of these games in the same year.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I think, yeah, it's cool because a lot of people didn't get a Vita over here, so most people didn't play it.
So we're nearing the end of our list. I did want to talk real quick about EA Sports UFC 2.
Just maybe to break up the flow.
So it's coming out actually relatively soon. It comes out in March, I think. They pretty much announced it and said, yeah, it's coming out in like 3 months. So The first one had some. The first one was good. It was a pretty good game. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think the biggest problem with it was that there wasn't enough variety between each of the fighters, as far as like the animations go. You know, it almost felt like eventually you're playing as the same character, just in a different, you know, a different skin or something like that. There were some slight variations, but that's kind of the vibe, and that's sort of the complaint that a lot of people had with it. And so I think they're working on that a lot. There's some other stuff they added, like being able to freely move your upper body, you know, like you could in the Fight Night games, and different physics things and all kinds of stuff. And it looks like the roster is going to be pretty good as well. They have some classic fighters that I'm a big fan of, so I think it'll be good. I really like that team that works on it. They worked on, you know, the Fight Night games, and I think that they do a pretty good job of taking feedback and then implementing it into the next game. So I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a really good game. And it's the first kind of big sports title for 2016. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I think they have a beta coming out later this month, too, cool. So I'm going to get to actually play it.
We can knock a couple out of the way pretty quick. Far Cry Primal, Homefront 2, and XCOM 2.
Yeah, Far Cry Primal, I'm still kind of in the wait and see with that game. I don't know exactly.
I need to beat Far Cry 4. I didn't even do that, and I'm way more interested in it.
Yeah. I just don't see how that style of gameplay is sustainable for hours and hours and hours.
It looks,
but I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah, it looks very okay with some moments. That'll probably be cool, but I can't believe they're charging $60 for that. I thought it was going to be like the Blood Dragon, which I was like, oh, great. That's awesome.
It's fully fleshed Far Cry game, which is just weird to me. I mean, so seemingly it's going to be like 20-something hours or more.
It just seems to me like it was the Halo ODST of Far Cry, where it's like, let's make another Blood Dragon, and they're like, no. Add a couple new features, this is a $60 game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have all the features. It doesn't have a map editor. It doesn't have open world co-op, as far as I know. I could be wrong about that one. But Matt was telling me about like what it doesn't have that Far Cry 4 did have. And it's like, well, what the hell? It doesn't have multiplayer, like deathmatch or anything. It's just weird. The whole game is weird.
Weird, weird, weird.
And then Homefront. Does anybody actually care about Homefront?
No, not really. I mean, I think it has some interesting ideas. It looks kind of like a modern day Far Cry. Not a modern day Far Cry. Like inner city Far Cry is what I meant to say.
Are they going open world with it or something?
Yeah, it's like open world. You drive from point to point, and there's different objectives. Like, you go help this resistance over here, and then you can drive over here because this one's getting attacked. And, you know, there's different, like, tools you can get, like little RC cars and drones and things. So I don't know, maybe it'll be cool. It might. I could see that game being like a sleeper hit, perhaps, because I don't think it's on many people's radars, because I don't think the first game didn't do that well.
Well, financially it did fine enough, critically it didn't do good.
So
it was a Call of Duty ripoff. To me, Homefront is about as interesting as, it's only slightly more interesting than like the Medal of Honor Modern Warfare reboot.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, okay, another one?
Yeah, so, I don't know, we'll see. And then XCOM 2, It looks cool.
Yeah, looks cool.
The first XCOM was cool. I liked the
first XCOM was cool. I bought it, put like an hour into it. I'm like, oh, I really want to play some more of this. And I didn't. And XCOM 2 is coming out. It's like,
all right. Yeah.
I still need to play the first one.
I'm sure it'll be good. But, yeah. I mean, going down this list in retrospect, we have a lot of fucking games
coming out. There's so many.
There's four last games here. Actually, they're all big. No Man's Sky.
Oh, God.
Which is huge, and no one knows if it's going to be a flop or good, because you cannot tell. Other than that the aesthetics are great and the idea is mind-blowing, you still don't know if it will be fun. You don't know shit about the game. No one does. It's just the most vague game ever. I'm very interested to see how it turns out.
I am too. From the very beginning, I just don't know about this game. I mean, it looks really fascinating.
It's a game that's like incredible on paper. And then you see it, and you're like, wow, you see it in a trailer, you're like, oh, man, the possibilities. And then your mind goes crazy, and your imagination goes crazy, and the game comes out, and it's limited. And you're like, limits, no.
I mean, because I think by being so vague, it could be a detriment to the game just because people are building up this idea of what the gameplay is going to be like in their head. And I don't think that that's what the game's going
to
be.
Even if it was amazing, it won't be what people think it is.
No.
Because people don't know what to think.
I don't know what... I keep... Every time we talk about this game, I keep saying the same thing, and it's, what do you do? What is the moment-to-moment... I know more than I did at the beginning, but I still don't know the overall, like, how just this game works.
Yeah.
There's just so many questions I have about it, and... So, and when you have questions like that, you fill it in with things you know and things you want. And I think that's hopefully doesn't bring the game down. Hopefully it's what people want. I guess it really just depends on your expectations, you know?
Mm-hmm. Next one is Overwatch, which will be huge. And
that's the Blizzard.
It's the Blizzard Team Fortress thing. That style of shooter is sort of the future of shooters. We'll be seeing a lot of more class-based, party-based, you know, very colorful League of Legends kind of cartoony, very character-focused.
Is it free-to-play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently people are in love with the beta. They say it's just a blast.
I've heard really good things about it.
Very polished. All the character designs are great.
It looks really polished.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that Blizzard knows that South Korea fucking eats up their games. And I was looking at it today, and there are characters that feel very South Korean. I mean, there's literally a South Korean girl. They have a cute robot girl, you know, Asian girl, and she's like in a Evangelion-looking body plug suit, and she's got a big pink mech. And with like this thing on her side, and it says, you know, Korean mechanized unit or whatever, and it's all pink and stuff, and it's very stylized. That is typically something that people would do with Japan. They'd be like, oh, it's a big robot, it's Japan. Nobody ever references Korean anything. Like, the first fucking Korean character like I've seen ever that was like specifically Korean was like the Juri in Street Fighter 4,
yeah.
It was like, oh, she looks Korean. Yeah, that's cool. Like, you don't see that, like, ever. And Overwatch has a Korean girl where you'd normally see a Japanese girl or guy. And they also have another girl who looks very Korean. And just, I haven't even really looked at much at the full roster. And I'm like, oh, this game's appealing to a global market. So it's cool. Going to be big. I think it's going to draw a lot of the League of Legends crowd, which is good, because that game's kind of gotten a little too big for its britches, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It's just this global phenomena, and I think that something needs to sort of compete, and it can't really compete by just being the same thing. So yeah, Overwatch is an interesting game. I don't know how much I'll play, but I'm sure it'll be fun for a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if you're not really that into multiplayer games. It's free!
It's free to play, Phil.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Phil's favorite.
How long would it take to download on my computer?
20, 30 days.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well.
Then The Last Guardian, which we don't really know if it's this year. Supposedly it is. I don't believe it. I don't think we'll ever get it. But
it's like the Moby Dick of games.
Yeah, it's like Duke Nukem Forever or something. I mean, hopefully not, but where it's just like, oh, we're never going to get that. And then when it's out, it's like, we didn't really get that.
I think that it's, I'm still, you know, I'm interested. I was never super excited about this game. I was really happy to see it up here at last E3 just because I know what it means to a lot of people that are excited about it.
Did you ever play Shadow of the Colossus?
No.
I played a demo of it. I want to play it so bad. I know the gameplay has...
The reason why people... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I know some of the controls are a little bit difficult, but it still looks like a really fun game.
The reason why people are excited for the game isn't necessarily because of how... I mean, it was a very touching trailer, but the gameplay wasn't clear, which is what's cool about it. People still don't really know what to expect from it gameplay-wise, other than that it'll make them weep.
Yeah.
Like babies. Oh, yeah. And that the studio making it is incredible. Like, and they never make anything. It's just when they make something, it's like, it's a masterpiece. It just is. they're timeless games. And so Shadow of the Colossus will be tough to beat. But just people have just been waiting for that for so fucking long.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows what they want to see in it, even still. Like, because it's still a very vague game. Mm-hmm. But you know what to expect from the studio, and that it's a follow-up in some way to the story of that series. So,
right.
People just want to see more of that haunting world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
Yeah, and it's in... those games give you something that nothing else will. So there's not like a substitute that you can just tide yourself over until it comes out. So I think it just builds even more anticipation. So yeah, good. It'll be cool. I'm excited to see it. I hope it's good.
I hope it's great.
Yeah. It would be such an upset if it just they somehow fucked it up. But I don't think it's possible with that kind of game. I mean, it's so weird that even if there was like a flaw in it fundamentally, your brain wouldn't really register it the same way. It'd just be kind of like, this game is so different.
Yeah, someone who sometimes has an itch to play something that's completely different, that's the game I want.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, guys, before we sign off.
We had one last game.
Did we what?
Zelda.
Oh. Fuck.
It looks great. Okay.
Okay. Well, it doesn't even look like anything. We don't know anything about
it. Okay.
It's not coming out this year. Okay.
It's coming out. I think it's going to be NX. It's going to be on their next console. That's my guess.
Yep.
Maybe a launch title. That'd be cool.
I need the fucking name. I just want the name. Just want to know what it's called.
So let me ask you this before we sign off, guys. What's a crazy prediction you have for 2016? Either something getting announced... or something, you know, something along those lines.
And I'll start. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, Phil.
You
motherfucker.
Yeah.
God damn, that's a good prediction.
Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 3, really?
This year. You know, that might be a more...
Probably not going to come out.
It will be.
Do you think Half-Life 3 will be announced this year?
It'll be announced this year. It's time.
Can I just go with Phil's? I like yours. Okay.
I mean,
yes, I'm going to say... there will be a new... Let's see. I'm digging through the archives here. I'll just go back to something I said earlier on the podcast. A new Onimusha will be announced.
Okay. Who may... Oh, Capcom.
Capcom. They registered a trademark a short time ago.
Cool. So,
new Onimusha. Phil, if any of ours comes true, it better be yours.
I know, right?
If I don't fucking care about Half-Life 3 when it comes to Red Dead... sequel.
I would play Half-Life 3, but the
game, I would play the shit out of Half-Life 3.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
Red Dead. If I had to pick one or the other,
if Red Dead comes out, I'd weep. But also, like, I've been waiting for Half-Life 3 even longer. And I want Red Dead 2 way more.
Yes,
but I want to get Half-Life 3. Like, I know I'm going to probably get Red Dead eventually. Half-Life 3 is like a mystery. It's like, ooh, what the fuck are they going to do to live up to that?
My prediction for Half-Life 3, never coming out.
Yeah, that's the difference, is that Red Dead probably will. Half-Life, it's like, are they actually going to do this? I've been waiting!
I mean, just like that espionage game that Rockstar...
The Agent?
Yeah.
The Agent.
That would be a surprise announcement right there.
Phil. All right. We missed it in the awards last week. Favorite hentai 2015.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we're nearing 2 hours, so I'm gonna have to cut you. So we'll have to get your favorite hentai of 2015 in 2017. Thank you for listening, everybody.
You have a long time to think about.
Yeah, I have a long list to go through.
We love you. Hentai. River loves you.
Yes, he does.
River has a knife.
River loved you.
River loved you.
He's dead.
Yeah,
he's
texting from the
right
grave.
Now.
So just to reiterate, we will be on starting in February. We will be officially on SoundCloud only, getting away from Podomatic, just so everybody knows. But anyway, thank you for listening. We will see you next week.
Peace.